to Does the Team Think with Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Cyril Fletcher, and the man who hatched up the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. And here comes a question, team, from Mrs. Nancy Miller.
Which tool do members of the team find most useful in their homes?
What was that again?
All right, team, here's the question. Which tool do most members of the team find most useful in their homes?
Well, I wouldn't be without a chopper. Because I love sitting up in bed on a Sunday morning, listening to the bells and chopping the firewood.
No, as a matter of fact, the thing that's under my wife's pillow, it's a little key, and it opens her secret box where she keeps the housekeeping. And sometimes when she goes out, I get the little key if I'm short of money, and I open the piggy bank. I feel guilty, but I take it. Only a couple of quid, but she never misses it because there's only four in there, you see. That's the best tool in my
house. My favourite is not so much a tool as an appliance.
A corkscrew.
Well, it's funny you should say that. That's the second most important. The bottle opener comes first.
The bottle opener.
The bottle opener comes first because I find my navel's wearing out.
That's funny, mine's turned in.
Honestly, I can't open them like I used to.
Well, you've got too much fluff in there, Jim. Oh, don't flick your ash in my navel. I'm doing my striptease tonight.
It is true to say that the appliance that I mean, the corkscrew and the bottle opener together, but I
do
have,
wear an appliance.
They're in the most regular use in my house. But I wouldn't say there aren't others that are more important. For example, I've got a marvellous orange squeezer.
I've seen it.
No, I've got an electric one, and it provides you...
Oh, have you really?
Yes. An electric tool I've got.
Have you really?
And it's
DC or AC?
Shut up. I haven't looked recently. All you have to do is to cut the... got to cut the orange in half first, otherwise you make an awful fool of yourself. Yeah.
And as long you get Max Jaffa, wouldn't you?
Yes, you get the pip. You get the pip. I know.
Singing tangerine.
But you squash it down on this thing, and the minute you squash it, it begins to revolve.
I've seen those.
And it goes... And if you remember to put the little tray in underneath, you get all the orange juice. But if you haven't, you get your toes sticky. I do hate sticky toes.
Yes. So, Fletcher, the master of the house is the one who's got the control of the knob on the electric blanket. Don't you think so?
Yes, I agree with you, Cyril, yes. But is that...
Especially this weather.
Well, you wouldn't call that a tool, would you?
No, but is that your favourite...
It's an appliance.
It doesn't say appliance.
Do you mean to say that you have control of the knob on the electric blanket?
I said the master
Betty
of the
ever
house has.
Oh, you're not the master.
Either one or the other.
Well, Betty's got it, hasn't she? She's the master of your house.
Well, I don't
But in a well-regulated house, which is run by a man who really is the master of the house, a hammer... is really quite honestly the most useful.
If I had a hammer.
No, well, you can
use a hammer for almost anything.
Well, I was using one the other day, knocking a nail in the wall, and the fellow in the next flat came round and said, do you mind if I have my picture on the other end of your nail?
What are those things like that? Drills? What sort of drills are they called?
Brace and bit.
Well, you know, I went in the kitchen the other day, and Betty was using this brace and bit on a cake. I said, what are you doing that for? She said, I forgot to put the fruit in.
Now, mind you, Betty's a bit of a brazen bit herself, isn't she?
Mrs. Miller, what are your views on your own question?
Well, I thought with Ted's knowledge of the violin, he could fiddle with almost any tool. For Cyril, I thought a plane to keep him as nice and smooth as he always is.
Shave pieces off the top of his head, you mean?
Urbane.
Well, keep talking, madam.
I couldn't
think
be plain,
for Jim, a spirit level to try and keep him straight.
The only trouble would be he'd drink the spirit out of the level.
No, it's getting rusty.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Mrs. Miller. Thank you, Mrs. Miller, very much. Mr. Ian Drummond takes his seat. On my right, Mr. Ian Drummond will put a question. This is it.
Does the team think it's possible to tell a person's job from their personal appearance?
Does the team think it's possible to tell a person's job from their personal appearance?
Well, you always tell an aging comic by the old lines on his face. What's this our business?
I thought you could tell the aging comic by the old lines coming from his mouth.
So indifferent.
I thought you could tell an aging comic because his pocket was full of chestnuts.
But the thing is, you see, it's not always easy because, take a boxer. Now, you see, if he has a cauliflower ear, he's a fighter. If he cocks his leg, he's a dog. I think they've come for the reading of the will. I thought so.
Well, I think looking at this panel, I think Cyril looks like a chartered accountant. Ted looks like a bank manager. I look like a Vince dummy, and Jim looks like a haystack.
That's the best, yeah. The best bit.
Yes, but I'm going to get it trimmed, you know. I mean, as a matter of fact, I woke up this morning and thought I was going to strangle myself. So I thought I must have it trimmed, you know. Definitely.
There goes the prayer of a nation.
Mr. Drummond, if you'd never met these gentlemen before, what jobs do you think they would be most suited for from their appearance?
Cyril, a chartered accountant. Yeah, don't.
No, I think Cyril would make a very good butler.
Butler?
Yes.
Well, he's been to Butlins, you know.
He does, yes.
As a matter of fact, Betty and I have often thought of being a married couple.
Yes, Mr. Drummond.
Yes, Arthur Askey, for some reason, I don't know why, he reminds me of a deck chair attendant.
What a butler!
He's underslung a bit like a deck chair.
I should think.
Well, that's ridiculous if Arthur Askey put a
Everybody
deck chair
gets up when you approach.
If Arthur Askey put a deck chair up, he'd disappear behind it.
I'd buy a chair with a hole in the middle.
Mr. Drummond, I like your efforts best. Carry on.
Oh, thank you. Ted Ray, well, obviously a gent's hairdresser.
Why obviously?
Obviously, well, he's so immaculately groomed, aren't you?
Thank you very much.
Well, he could be a blooming horse, then, couldn't
he? I do
he?
It myself, you know.
You do, yeah.
More like a horse if you're so well groomed.
In Fetchlock, you know about that.
Oh, you're with us again, are you?
And thereby hangs a tail.
Oh,
yes,
my goodness me.
Mr. Drummond, you've got...
And Jim has swallowed a horse, that's the tail sticking out.
Ted used to say it was a fox's brush, didn't you, Ted?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
All right.
Drummond is coming to Edwards. Come on,
come on, Bulldog Drummond. Well, get in there, boy.
Well, you're obviously a country club bar steward, aren't you?
I must interpose at this juncture.
Yes, please do.
The man said that there was no corridor on the train.
Take the question round the other way. How do you expect somebody to look if they have a particular job? I mean, supposing you know a friend of yours, you hear a man on the telephone and he says, as a matter of fact, I'm a professional pea podder. I'm a professional pea podder. Now, what sort of image do you have of that fella?
Long and thin and bumpy.
All right, look,
Well, no, a pea podder, professional pea podder, is very simple. There's a good technique for this. You split one, eat two, and throw away three.
All right, team, just for a moment, let's put this into practice. You have never met Mr. Drummond before. Let me ask you, what do you think... I don't even know, and you don't know. What do you... from his, well, his appearance...
Look, what do you think he does?
Put your coat on.
No, let him...
He might be a postman.
Well done, Arthur.
I mean, good thing,
a man of letters.
A good clue is to see what he's got on the bottom of his shoes, you see. He might be a farmer.
Well, he's a chewing gum.
I know what he is. No, I've got it. I can see.
What is he?
He's a licorice all-sort sorter.
Well, I'll tell you.
I know what he is.
What is he?
I think he's a commercial traveller in Ireland. And you know what he does?
No.
he sells donuts to leprechauns for toilet seats.
Mr. Drummond, since they haven't guessed, you tell them what you do.
I work in income tax.
You've probably got a long nose.
Can you tell me one or two things about this VAT?
No.
But what about Sherlock Holmes? I mean, Sherlock Holmes said, that man is a civil servant, he's very fond of dogs, he goes to his club every Friday to play bridge, and he's a vegetarian. So Watson says, that's wonderful. How did you deduce that? He says he's my brother-in-law.
Thank you, team, and thank you, Mr. Drummond. Thank you very much. All right, team, here comes a question from Mrs. Doris M. Sweeney. Hello, Mrs. Sweeney. What is your question?
Harvey Smith has a mention in a new dictionary for doing a Harvey Smith. What would the team like to be famed in a dictionary for doing?
Harvey Smith has a mention in a new dictionary for doing a Harvey Smith.
You must be joking.
What would the team like to be famed in a dictionary for doing?
Well, you mean so that people could say doing like doing a Jimi Hendrix or something like that?
Is that most people mean? Would it's, like
that's
to.
That's what you mean. Well,
how true? How true? No laughs, like but how
you,
true?
Are you with us, or are you just going to keep on muttering? I don't think he's well, ladies and gentlemen.
I think he's not. I think he's at a funny age, Ted.
You know, Ted has hallucinations at night, you know.
But what
strange.
Are they? What
he, think, he thinks he's a human being.
But, I don't know why you should be so rude to me. I'm
they love each other, really.
I don't love him.
They're holding hands under the desk.
Team.
Is that his hand?
Team, you're all talking at once. Jimmy Edwards.
What dictionary is this, Mrs. Warbottom? Mrs. What's her name?
Mrs. Sweeney.
Well, with us, it must be Chambers.
I don't know, but I heard it mentioned on the radio.
Don't believe anything you hear in the wild, particularly this programme, madam.
What I'd like to do is do a Harvey Smith to Harvey Smith.
Well, in the first place, Arthur, if you were in a dictionary, it would have to be a digest.
Dictionary?
A digest. It would have to be, if you were in a dictionary, it would have
I'm
to...
I'm in the Guinness Book of Records.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Stout fella. That's good.
What could have been quicker than that?
As a matter of fact, that is the record book that I want to get into, the Guinness one, as a matter of fact. I mean, I want to put down... I mean, I think you could drink 3 pints of Guinness in record time and you'd go into the book, you see. But it would be rather...
You're going to the dock.
To say, oh, he did, look at that fellow over there, he's just done a Jimi Edwards. Somebody open the window. I mean...
But if you're going in for a gesture, Jim, you're, those of you who remember Playmates, when I had my own TV series, I always used to end the programme by holding my nose and disappearing, you know. I went on my holidays on the continent once. As Ted will know, there's a French comic down there called René Legrand. Do you remember him?
I do indeed.
I was walking along with this French comedian, a Juan Le Pen, and there was a lot of English people there, and they shout, Arthur! And he looked at me, this French comic, he said, Arthur? In England, they think you stink.
I would like, for example, for it to be used in this way. Somebody said, if somebody made a particularly felicitous remark, somebody said, well, that's a real little Jimi Edwards, you see. I'd like to be known for making felicitous remarks. That's
talking of felicitous remarks, I made one at a dinner, you see. There was this toast to the ladies of the East, and then there was another toast to the ladies of the West, and I got up and said, let's drink a toast to the two hemispheres of the ladies.
Was this in Bristol?
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Mrs.
Really?
Sweeney. Yes,
thank you.
That was
good to like it, wasn't it?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet our special guest, one of the great voices of radio, broadcaster, sports commentator, the man who comes down your way every week. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Johnson. And just in case anybody didn't hear my introduction correctly, I should have said Brian Johnston, right?
With a T.
Right. But put your question, please.
Yes, well, I just wondered, would the members of the team like to be sports commentators? And if so, what sports would they like to specialise in?
God, I hope not. Cyril Fletcher.
Well, I wouldn't be any good as a sports commentator because I'm a man of instant indecision.
Is that it?
Well, Brian, I've heard your wonderful cricket commentaries, and I often think that must be the most difficult. Seriously.
No, it's not.
A difficult... Yes, it is, because...
Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, yes, it is.
Because, you see, all these other sports are kind of instant happenings. There's boxing, which I think is really a piece of cake. There's football, and that's... also, movements, you see. Just digressing for a moment, I remember Kenneth Wolstenholme, who obviously had, on the continent, had memorised all the foreign players' names.
No, he doesn't. The fellow next to him does that.
But he knew all the English people, and the commentary went something like this. Now, Charlton got the ball, he's gone across to Moore. Moore's pushed it down the left-hand side to Charlton, Charlton's pushed it through, and it's gone right across the field of the ball. Ball's got to go, and it's a goal! And the kick-off again, he'd say, well, here are Italy to kick-off again. Blots. Grince. Mugain. And England's got the ball again. And it's Charlton. Down the wing.
Well, when you say, Ted, I'm letting out stage seekers here, the Kenneth Wollstoneholm does it. He has a fella next to him who says to him, Gradanigov. And Kenneth Wollstone says, Gradanigov's got the game now. Polonsky's got the ball now.
Let's just ask Brian Johnson whether, in fact, he does have a race reader for cricket or any of the sports.
Oh, no, you wouldn't for cricket.
I'm not. Just said for any of the sports. He does a lot of other sports.
I had one once, a little chap in horn and spectacles who came into Lords and said he was a commentator. Could he come up to the TV box? He did, and there he is sitting there now.
And we nearly got into trouble.
He's the only man who's ever got in the Bevin and Lords and the Test match saying
right.
He's a commentator.
And you asked me to commentate on an over.
You did it very well.
I was in the crowd and I couldn't see the game.
That's right.
So I went up to the... I couldn't. I was doing this, you see.
That's right.
So I went up, knocked at the BBC box and they let me in. Well, Brian did. He
and
said,
Neil
come on
Harvey
in.
Was standing at leg slip and you That's said, there's right. Neil Harvey standing at leg slip with his legs wide apart waiting for a tickle, didn't you?
That's right. I was doing all the funnies. I said, Chelsea are batting.
Yeah.
Jimmy. Errol Flynn has just bowled a maiden over. And I was getting big laughs, and all of a sudden there was a knock on the box, and the secretary said, get that fellow out of here.
Jimmy Edwards, this was not your life. You haven't said a word yet.
Jimmy is about to say something.
I am not. I'm so bored, I'm going home.
I'll stay, Jimmy, and bore us all.
No.
Jimmy, who would you like to commentate on a polo match when you were playing?
Who would I like to commentate on a polo
match? Who would you like? Would you like him?
Tell him who did it, Jim.
He would never... They don't... Did you see the... What...
Tell him who did it, Jim, at the polo match. Jimmy, don't be a fool. Tell him who did it. I was there, Jim.
Jim, would you start again?
No, not bothered.
Oh, come on.
Jim. To play that sulking game, you know. I was about to remark that the difficulty with Brian Johnson is has moved from radio, where you can get away with murder because nobody can see what's going on, to commentating on television where they can verify that what you say is accurate. Don't you agree, Brian, that
Very
on
good
radio,
point. Good
where
point.
You can sort of cover up...
That's a very
we
good
never
point.
Cover up, I can tell you that.
Oh, yes, you do.
We
I've
make the most
you.
Awful
oh,
mistakes. Can
yes,
I tell you what I did the
Not
other day?
Not cover up, it's cover point.
The other day, there was a chap called Henry Horton batting. He used to stick his bottom up and he batted. And I thought I ought to tell the radio listeners, you see, what he looked like. So I said, he's got a funny sort of stance, and I meant to say it looks as if he's sitting on a shooting stick. I got it the wrong way round.
talking about covering up, as a matter of fact, talking about covering up Mr. Johnson, yeah. There was a
Why
test...
should he cover up Mr. Johnson?
Might be a good idea.
He ain't dead yet.
Jimmy Ted Edwards, try again.
They only put the covers on Mr. Johnson when it's raining.
Oh, yeah.
Quiet, please.
Talking
Jimmy
about
Edwards.
Covering up.
Yeah.
On the radio, there was a case the other day, not so very long ago, where there was a test match. Where the man on the radio said, oh, he said, good gracious me, the man just been hit over the heart by the ball. And that evening I saw an excerpt on television and it's a very funny place to keep your heart. Right.
Mind you, I tell
I
you.
I can remember, Brian, listening to you doing a commentary and you said, and for this over he's got two silly short legs. And my daughter said, Pop, they're talking about you again.
<That's> But listen, Brian, are there any sports that you haven't ever commentated on?
How would you like to be the commentator on fly fishing in a gents' trouser department?
But you once commentated on me. Have you ever tried, for example, tiddlywinks or anything like that?
I've done tiddlywinks. We've done tiddlywinks with Lady Docker, in fact. Have you ever tiddled with Lady Docker?
No, we haven't, but thank you, Brian Johnson. Thank you very much. Thank you, Brian. And our team, here comes a question from Mrs. Sylvia Verrill.
Is there any item of women's clothing or any feminine gadget or article of which the team disapprove and would like to see banned?
Is there any item of women's clothing or any feminine gadget or article of which the team disapprove and would like to see banned?
When I'm sitting behind some women drivers, I wish they'd get a shift on.
I don't like these new shoes the girls are wearing, you know, the surgical boots.
The one thing I don't like, getting to the gimmick part of the question, it is the way some of these girls have their hair done back in a kind of an oriental bun at the back, Mind you, it's better than having a bun in the front. But...
No, I haven't finished yet. Now,
you see, the thing is, you can always see their necks. Now, I used to love the old days when the girls wore their hair long and you could search for the necks.
That was half of the fun.
But you want to know that somebody's got a neck.
You're not women's lib, are you, dear?
No.
No, you haven't burned your bra or anything like
no.
that. I think that's bad.
Definitely.
The bra. The girls who burn their bras. I think bras are here to stay. Really. Because I don't know whether you remember Sabrina, do you? Sabrina. She was taller than me, and she dispensed with her bra. And I was having a dance with her, and I couldn't see where I was going. And what is more, I couldn't hear what the band was playing.
Well, was that the evening you were nearly suffocated?
Well, I'm sorry that you can't get a pair of bloomers now because I can't get elastic for my catapult.
Jimmy, what do you think about the see-through dresses?
Oh, I can't be bothered with them.
But you look into it, of course.
No, no. Let's go on to the... I've never seen anybody in a see-through dress.
Well, you can't see anything through that growth, can you?
What part of the dress... Do they have...
Frankie Howard.
I must get about more often, I didn't know. There's nobody in this audience with a see-through dress on, is there?
No. It says here, any feminine gadget or article...
Yes, gadgets and articles.
Women's handbags, they're
yes,
down about nuisance, aren't they?
Rucksacks.
Especially when they're swinging them. The handbags, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're my size, it can be very dangerous. I've been hitting some very vital parts with the swinging handbag. And you notice the Queen always has a handbag. Mm. She's got to go to Victoria Station and meet His Royal Highness the Oblong of Scans.
Yes.
And she's standing there looking marvellous with a blooming handbag.
You know, why don't you?
Well, she can't trust anyone in the palace, I suppose.
No. It's because she has got to have some place to keep her platform ticket.
There you go. Well, the only time she doesn't have a handbag is when she's the trooping of the colour.
And
she's riding side saddle then. Yeah. I think she's sitting on her bag.
But the Duke of Edinburgh's no fool, is he? You notice he's keeping his hand on his wallet with his hands behind him all the time. He's no mouth.
Mrs. Verrill, obviously you are probably critical of your own sex in terms of what they wear, in terms of gadgets or clothes. Are there any things to which you object as a woman?
Yes, I don't really approve of at the moment of the trouser trend. Women are wearing trousers for absolutely everything.
So the fat women.
Not just
for... I think
for
they should be taken off.
The fat women. Look, the fat women. Looks like two kids fighting under a blanket.
True.
Well, it's an extraordinary thing because I wear trousers and people don't complain about it.
That's just 'cause only in your flat.
That looks like two bullocks fighting under a marquee.
There are women who pour themselves into trousers, which they'd be best not seen in. I must admit, Mrs. Shortcrow.
But some women.
I'll tell you one thing I will approve of, and I'm old enough to appreciate this.
Ooh.
Hmm?
There is somebody out there, told you.
Mother, shut up. You'll get the money. I told you. I'll bring it direct. Oh, shut up, Mum. I think it's the old lady's home. Would you like to help the old lady's home?
Yes, where do they live?
Don't sound jealous.
I went to buy Betty a bra once, and it's a very embarrassing thing to do, but the girl in the shop recognised me, which made it more embarrassing, and so she said, "Don't worry, Mr. Fletcher, we give them various names," she said. "We've got the Dictator, which is for the suppression of the masses.
Mussolini.
Then we have the Salvation Army, which is for the uplift of the fallen.
General Bill.
Then we have the Political Agitator, which is for making mountains out of molehills."
Very good. Talking about an article of clothing, what about those hats women wear, especially at Ascot?
Well, you know, I saw a dreadful thing in the supermarket the other day. There was a little boy, about two, and he was crying his eyes out. And the store detective, you know, whatever they call him, the manager came across and he said, "What's the matter, son?" "I lost my mummy." He said, "What do you say?" "He said, I lost my mummy." He said, "Well, why didn't you hang on to a skirt?" He said, "It was too high to reach."
Thank you to you very much, and thank you, Mrs. Merrill.
Thank you. Good thanks.
And now, team, we have a question coming to you from Mrs. Edith Snare. Mrs. Snare, what's your question,
Mrs.
please?
Snare.
If each member of the team were to be sculptured, what mode would he choose, and where would he like the statue to be placed?
If each member of the team were to be sculptured, what mode would he choose and where would he like the statue to be displayed?
Mrs. Snare, you evidently caught him, didn't you? Oh, ah.
Well, the funny
thing is, you?
Pointless.
No.
Pointless joke, because his name was Snare, not hers. What's the matter with you?
What is this? Any questions?
No funny answers.
No.
I tell you what, I come from Liverpool.
You could have fooled me.
As Ted does.
You could have fooled me.
And there's a big store in the centre of Liverpool.
Oh, yes.
And it has a statue of a huge naked man.
Yeah.
And every time I play Liverpool, I always say at the end, you know, when I've subsided the applause, thank you. Lovely to come back to my old hometown. And I'm pleased to say, I'm pleased to see that you still have my statue outside this big shop. I say, you realise it was me? Of course, he hasn't got I took my glasses off while I was modelling, you know. Or didn't you look at the face? The only thing about this statue is that when it rains, the rain comes off in the most peculiar place.
Well, I can give you
like the old lady who wanted to know which hotel it was, and she said, European, and he said, no, it's the rain dripping off my umbrella.
Well, while we are on that topic, there's an even more vulgar joke going around about the two ladies who were looking at in the town hall at the various statues. Yeah. They separated and went and saw them separately, and then they came back, they compared notes, and one of them said, did you see the marble statue, the naked fellow in the marble statue? And she said, and did you... And the other one says, yes, and weren't they cold?
Team, you have all been absolutely wonderful in telling us and your various statuesque stories. Right. But could you actually answer the question? Jimmy Edwards, in what mode would you like to be sculptured and where would you like it displayed?
Definitely mounted for a start. I've got to be seen mounted, I'd have thought.
Pronate, I should think.
What?
Pronate, lying down.
No, mounted on an horse.
All right, if you get lonely, you can just talk to the horse.
You wouldn't be mounted on a brooch, would you, Joe?
Well, I might be mounted on a bullock.
Oh,
or a camel. I mean, I'm trying to make myself absolutely clear to these three
Jimmy,
numbskulls.
Jimmy, where would you...
I don't interrupt me, I'm getting cross.
I will interrupt
you. I want to be seen mounted on a horse naked.
And where would you be displayed?
Where would I be displayed? Well, on the saddle.
Cyril Fletcher.
Well, I would like to be Eros.
Why?
I've been staying in the circus here since 1893. Do you wonder that my outlook's somewhat narrow? I just gaze down Lower Regent Street as bored as I can be, shooting nothing with this ruddy bow and arrow.
If you do one of me, wherever it is displayed, if it's life-size, I hope they put it on a very high plinth. Because I think the dogs would have a hell of a time in there.
I think, since you've all given us your opinion, I think it's only polite to ask our guest, Mrs. Snare, to give us her opinion of where would you like... What mode would you like to see them sculptured and where would you like them displayed, Mrs. Snare?
Well, I'm rather surprised that Jimmy wants to be put on a plinth. I'd have thought he'd been more at home on a beer barrel or something like that.
But I accept your stricture, and I'll be on a barrel if you like.
Jimmy!
As long as it's a full one.
You could never be on a beer barrel. They never see you. You'd be inside.
There's a lot of these statues which have water emerging from various orifices.
Oh, I say.
I mean, for example, I understand there's one in Brussels where it's very embarrassing, actually. But I would like to have a statue of me where the water is going in.
Water. Hello, Simon. May I just say this, Matt?
Yes.
I must say this, and this is in all sincerity, that is a man, I think he's a bit crazy, but every day he rings up me and he wants to sculpt me. I pick up the phone, he says, statue?
Thank you, team, very much. Thank you very much indeed. And there, I'm afraid, we must close Does the Team Think for today. On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Ted Ray, Arthur Askin, Cyril Fletcher, and our producer, Edward Taylor, our thanks to all our questioners, and, of course, our special guest, Brian Johnston. And if you'd like to ask the team a question, let's hear from you. And we hope you'll all join us again next week. Till then, this is MacDonald Hobley saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.